The title of our lesson, as well as quite a bit of the outline that we'll be following over the next few weeks, I have borrowed from a couple of sources, one of which that contributed a lot of the structure to this study is a sermon by Stephen Hopkins that was listed on sermoncentral.com. Getting a grasp on the Bible, or I suppose we could give it a subtitle, and that would be How to Study. Many times through the years, I've been approached by people and asked what methods I use to study the Bible. Not that I perhaps would be a sterling example or the best example to follow, but most all preachers need to study the Bible quite a bit. And so, consequently, I've been asked from time to time, how do you study? And I've been asked, is there a good way to study the Bible or a better way to study the Bible, some method that works better for everybody, or just how should we study? And so, the material that I'd like to present over the next several Sunday nights, Lord willing, will deal with this subject of how to study the Bible. I have chosen as our lesson text and as the text for this entire study the passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You know, that's the purpose of the Bible. The Bible teaches us what truth is. We studied this morning some of the importance of the Bible, and we looked at the fact that there are some who have in their lives and in their attitudes some hindrances to accepting the truth that the Bible presents. The Bible is able to do a great many things for us, and when there is something in our lives that gets in the way of the benefit that the Bible can bring into our lives, we need to get rid of that hindering factor. We need to allow the Bible to be for us what God intended for us to be. It is the source of truth. It makes us realize, it teaches us what's wrong in our lives and helps us to straighten out our path. It directs us in the right way in order that we might conduct ourselves in a way so as to please God and glorify His name. The Bible is God's solution to the dire need in all of our lives for preparation. The Bible prepares us. Scripture, Paul says, is there to furnish us unto all good works in order that we might be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy trying to take on a task when I'm not well prepared, when I don't have the tools that I need or the materials that I need, or when I don't understand the method that I need to carry out this particular task. In a spiritual way, the Word of God provides us with everything that we need in order to take on those things that God would have us to take on. This evening, I'd like for us to begin this series of lessons keeping in mind the fact that many people don't study the Bible very much. I'd like to think that I'm speaking to a group of people this evening who are probably some of the hardest studying, most knowledgeable Bible students that there ever have been. But the reality is that not everybody in this room would fit into that category. At the very best, there are many of us, in fact, most of us, who need to improve our methods and our practices when it comes to studying God's Word. And so this evening, I'd like for us to examine some of the ways that we can do a better job ourselves. If you were to envision in your mind the picture of a hand, and if we could take on that picture of the hand, putting labels on the little finger, I'd like for us to label that finger here. Secondly, on the next finger, I'd like for us to label that finger read. The third finger, the longest finger on most everybody's hand, would be labeled study. The index finger would be labeled memorize. Number six, I'd like for us in our minds at least to label the illustration with the thumb, meditate. That would be number five, I'm sorry. And number six, down the middle of the palm. You thought I had another finger, didn't you? Apply. And we're going to be referring back to this illustration as we go through this series of lessons. But those are basically six ways that you can get a grasp on God's Word. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, and apply. Now, when you try to get a grasp on God's Word, you want to have more than just your little finger. But the fact is, for a lot of people, even a lot of those who claim to be God's children, the only way the Bible ever gets into their life is when they hear it discussed in Sunday school class, in worship services. Whenever we, as we say, come to church, we just hear it. Now I want you to try something. When you hear the Bible taught in that way, and if that's the only way you're ever exposed to God's Word, is just what you hear when you come to public worship assemblies, then obviously I hope that you also try to apply what you have or what you have heard. I want you to do this. I want you to try to hold your Bible with your little finger in your palm. That's possible. It's possible to grab hold of it that way and to grasp it, but you know, that gets pretty wearisome after just a short period of time. And it's absolutely very, very difficult to hold on to it and keep it from getting away if you're just using that little finger and your palm. Some people don't even go the route of applying. Some people just get exposed to it and hear it with that little finger, and so there's no way to hold on to God's Word. If that's all you have going for you, just the hearing. And so, we're going to study all of those methods and see that all of those methods need to be applied to our efforts of grasping the Bible. As we look at the matter of hearing tonight, I want to challenge you with some points on how to hear. Now, right now you're asking yourself, how in the world is he going to come up with very much to say on just how to hear? When you go out the door tonight, you're going to be kicking yourself and slapping yourself because you're going to say, why in the world didn't I think of that? That's so simple, and yet it's something that seems to be so important. You may indeed be amazed at how profound and yet at the same time how simple some of these things are that we need to take to heart on the matter of hearing God's Word. And so, how do we hear? How should we hear God's Word? Of course, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or as we say, faith comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Well, how many of us would like to have more faith? Well, of course, surely all of us would. This is, perhaps, as I've said, perhaps is the most common way of getting into God's Word, but it's also the way that we retain the least and lose the most. The Bible on tape or on CD is good. Maybe you have that and you listen to it as you ride down the road in your automobile. That's a good thing. Maybe you've got the Bible on CD, or maybe you listen to tapes of our classes and our sermons, or you can even check on the website and listen to our sermons. Maybe you read the Bible out loud or have someone to read it to you out loud. Those are all very good, but the fact is we tend to forget 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. Within 72 hours, 90 to 95% of what we've heard in detailed fashion is gone. It's slipped away from us. Now, you talk about a depressing statistic. That's really depressing. Unless you write it down, you're going to basically, in fact, some of you would be hard-pressed right now to tell me the main points of the sermon that we had this morning. I even confess, I've got to think about it for a minute or two before I can call them back up. It's just a fact that we don't retain all that much that we hear. And for some people, hearing, listening to preaching, listening to the Bible is the only way that they get the Bible in. And the result is a lot of it doesn't stay there. And so let's look at five ways to improve our hearing. Number one, let me suggest that whenever you hear the Word of God, whenever you come to worship assembly, knowing that you will be hearing the teaching and the reading of God's Word, number one, be ready and excited to hear. Now, that doesn't seem to be all that earth-shattering so far as something that you wouldn't think of on your own, but I wonder how many of us are really ready and excited about hearing God's Word when we come to worship assembly. Now, I don't mean to be mean, but when I taught Brother Northern Sunday School class this morning here in the auditorium, there were a lot of you who were not very excited about hearing the Word of God. There were some of you who were not ready at all to hear the Word of God because you had a very difficult time staying awake. As I say, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. But what does that say about how ready and how anxious we are to hear and receive the Word of God? Knowing that we're coming here for the purpose of receiving the Word through our ears and into our hearts. What does it say? James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19, that we should be quick to hear or quick to listen. When we come on Sunday morning to Sunday school class and to worship assembly, when we come on Wednesday night for Bible study, do we come with an attitude of, Lord, I'm so thankful to be here and to be able to hear the Word? Or do we more accurately come with an attitude of, okay, Lord, here I am, wake me up and pour it in? Be ready and be excited to hear the Word. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not demanding that you do that. I'm simply saying, in view of what it is we come here to listen to, it seems to me that that would be the best attitude to come with. And to come prepared. Whether it's going to bed early on Saturday night or cutting out a little bit of the agenda, or starting a little earlier on Sunday morning to get ready. It seems to me only reasonable and only sensible, if we are really God's children, to come to this worship assembly ready and excited to hear God's Word. Number two, deal with the problems that prevent your hearing God. Perhaps some of those problems may be attitude problems. Brother or sister, if you have an attitude problem that's keeping you from hearing God's Word in the right spirit and in the right way, then it would seem to me that the only reasonable thing to do would be to use whatever means that God has provided you with to deal with those problems and to resolve those problems in order that your hearing should not be hindered. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus taught that parable that we've called all kinds of names. We call it the parable of the sower. We called it the parable of the soils. I've even called it the parable of dirt. But actually, it could also be called the parable of the hearers. And every type of soil in that dirt, okay, in that parable that Jesus tells represents a different kind of heart and the heart's receptiveness to the Word. But we can also say that it represents a different kind of hearer or attitude of the hearer. And therefore, Jesus says in that parable, consider carefully how you hear or how you listen. He talks about listening or hearing or receiving with a closed mind. Perhaps there's fear or pride or bitterness preventing me from hearing God. Maybe it's a shallow mind. Perhaps the seed is falling in the shallow soil that springs up very quick. But underneath the shallow mind or shallow soil is the bedrock. Maybe we have a preoccupied mind. Maybe we're too busy with the things that are going on in our lives so that we're not really letting God's Word get in, and the things that are already there are in the way, the thorns and the weeds. We need to deal with whatever is wrong in our lives that keeps us from benefiting from hearing the Word. Number three, confess any sin that is in your life. James in chapter 1, verse 21 talks about getting rid of or putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. You say, well, what's that got to do with how I hear? Well, listen to what James says. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Get rid of all of the stuff that's in the way. Get rid of the things that prevent God's Word from being able to lodge in a heart that's good and honest. If there's garbage in your heart, you need to get rid of it, or God's Word is not going to benefit you any. When we hear someone speak or teach or preach, perhaps even in the case of this morning when you didn't hear your regular Sunday school teacher in the auditorium class, perhaps you don't like to listen to a particular speaker, or perhaps one of the first things maybe that comes to mind is, what's wrong with this guy? I don't understand. I don't like to listen to him. Maybe the best thing would be to ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? Surely there's something good in whatever, whoever says, as long as he's speaking the truth. What's wrong with me? What's keeping me from benefiting from what is being said here? Number four, take notes. Take notes. A good suggestion, I believe. And as long as we were printing the Sunday edition, there were many, many of you who thought that it was an excellent idea to take notes on sermons. In fact, when I stopped printing that little page, there were many of you who came to me and expressed your disappointment that I wasn't printing that outline of the sermon and giving you something to write on. And even heard somebody say, you know, there's not a thing back here on this back row that I can take notes on. we do like for it to be made easy for us, don't we? If taking notes is a good thing, maybe we shouldn't depend upon someone handing us a fill-in-the-blank sheet. If it's worth hearing and worth retaining and worth taking home and worth looking over later, why not bring a sheet of paper with you? In fact, I've known folks who come to worship services with a spiral notebook, and every sermon or every Sunday school class period, they turn to a fresh page. In fact, I would encourage you to do that if you're of the mind to take notes, because you might be amazed at how enjoyable it'll be to look back over the things that you've written, especially over a period of time, and call to mind some of the discussions, some of the lessons, some of the points that were made, the illustrations. Don't depend on someone to hand you a note-taking sheet. God's Word is worth taking notes on. In fact, the writer of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay the more careful attention to the things that we've heard so that we do not drift away. One of the best ways to do that is to jot them down. Someone says, I'm not a note taker. That's fine. I'm not saying that this is mandatory in order to go to heaven. But you might be surprised at how helpful it is to remember things when you write them down. Then number 5, and we'll be finished with tonight's installment, act on what you hear. Act on what you hear. In other words, when the preacher preaches or mentions forsaking the assembly on Sunday morning, be sure and be back on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Makes you look bad if you're not. Makes it look like you weren't listening. In all seriousness, we ought to go away from every session of studying God, listening to God's Word, whether it's the Sunday school class, the midweek Bible study, or the sermon session, or whatever it is. We ought to go away from every opportunity to hear God's Word, thinking, actively thinking about how this needs to be applied in my life. I would submit to you that I'm afraid most of us, and I'm part of us, rarely ever get around to the point of how can I accomplish that? How does that apply to me? How can I do better about that? James said, and we read this morning, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But James describes the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He describes him as a blessed man, blessed in what he does. Those are some very simple points on how to hear, how to listen. And yet I dare say they all have application in all of our lives. And there's not a one of us who doesn't need to do a better job of listening to the Word of God. If you're not a child of God this evening, we hope that you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have already done that, but have allowed sin to take you away from God's service, renounce that sin. Come confessing it, asking God's forgiveness. We'd like nothing better than to pray with you and for you. And God will keep His word to forgive and restore.